Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 679, A Mild Stone.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
A Niled Stone?
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I forgot the movie.
That's okay.
Yeah, Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile. Have to say it dramatic like that.
Yeah, well,
at least it wasn't titled like the old one was, like Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Was that really what it was called?
Death on.
Oh! I was thinking like the last one that we saw.
The original version of the movie. Where it had like three different title sequences: Agatha Christie's Poirot, Death on the Nile by Agatha Christie.
like Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Exactly.
Right. Francis Ford Coppola presents Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather.
And I'm just like, I mean, like, I get you made the movie and you're Francis Ford Coppola, so like, you're not nothing, but man, putting yourself in front of
Bram Stoker.
Okay, man.
It is a very different movie.
I've never seen it.
Have you never? Oh, really? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
You have seen it?
Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
It's just, I like, those sorts of movies just do nothing for me. And I like Francis Ford Coppola. I just, for whenever that came out, I was just like, yeah, vampires.
Sort of. Yeah. Right? Like, it's,
I don't know.
Gary Oldman has given a performance of his life. And
yeah.
It's Keanu Reeves doing an accent of some sort. I don't know what that is, but
it's questionable.
Well, let's not forget shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. And while you're there, don't forget to perhaps leave us a review. That's always helpful. And of course, follow us so you don't miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group. The group is where most of the conversation is taking place, and it's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you will share an episode, and sometimes people do. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week are Chris Valls, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Heather Sachs, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Sherman Powers, Librarian Cynthia, Julian Jordan, Tom Dowdy, Feelin' Film, James Install, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast, Ronnie Castle, Suzanne Leist? I struggle with that every week. In Session Film, Nostalgia Cast, The Manic Pixie Weirdo Cast, Geek to Me Radio, Chris Williams, Invasion of the Remake, Minorities Report, and Mike, and Oscar. And I think I figured out how to see everyone who's sharing them.
Oh, sweet. Oh,
it's a really simple fix. I just have to find the post and then grab the link for that specific post and then email it to myself and open it in a mobile browser.
Oh.
And then I can see everyone who shared the episode.
But hey.
So I'm really like, what an idiot for not thinking of that previously.
As Zuckerberg intended.
Yeah, color me red.
Good Lord.
Yes.
We do have a review.
Oh, how about that?
We do.
Is it a new zoo review?
Coming right at you.
Coming right at you.
Can you reference that show? You've never even seen it. You only know it because I say new zoo review.
Those references are from the Dan and Tom years.
That's right. Yeah, right. 5 stars. Nobody does it better. Nobody.
Wow.
This is from TD fan of 88. It's close enough. This podcast will be all you ever need. I have taken a journey with these guys over the past 6 months or so and listened to all of their podcasts from the first. I am now on episode 671. Whoever wrote this, I want you to know that I corrected yourself because you wrote, I am no. So I just fixed it for you.
What a way to really encourage reviews.
Yeah. You're really ingratiating yourself with the listeners.
Usually
there.
People just read over those and then don't point
it
out.
And then I just fixed it. Tom, Joe, and Kevin are just incredible. I feel like I'm sitting with friends listening to them. Their rants are awesome. The stories are great. And the insight they bring to the movies are fascinating. Set aside an hour and listen to any of their pods. You'll get hooked. My only regret is that I am almost caught up and will be able to listen to them once a week until I sign up for their Patreon. What are you waiting for? Don't make the same mistake I did. I didn't find them until they were 7 years in, and now I hope they have a long time together ahead.
Thank you. Very nice of you.
And if you just can't get enough, I guess you could always buy a Peloton.
That's true. For how much longer?
Oh, that company ain't going nowhere. It's too big. Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody would, worst case scenario, somebody would scoop up that brand.
Right.
It would keep right on chugging under different ownership.
I do feel, this is a silly joke. I feel like Peloton is like the Joe Rogan of, like, exercise bikes, where they're just, every time you see an article, they're just trying to be like, it's bad. They're losing stock. They're losing money. And you guys aren't. Well, I mean, maybe you are, but I don't know.
I mean, the stock is not where it was, but during the pandemic, it got up to like $170 a share.
So it's just leveling off.
And so, I'm long the company itself. Like, if somebody's like, should I even buy a bike? I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I always tell people this when they're like, can you name a Peloton instructor?
No.
Can you?
Is John Mills a Peloton instructor?
No, he's one of the people on our show.
Okay.
But,
well.
But like, there was a guy on Dancing with the Stars.
That's an
instructor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cody Rigsby.
Yeah.
But like.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah. But like, a lot of people, even they know instructors, but like, nobody knows a Nautilus instructor.
No.
Or Bowflex instructor.
Should you, though?
I mean, like, they hope that you do.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, but like, they have legit celebrity instructors. I mean, one's got a best-selling book. Another one's about to put out a book that I'm sure will also be a bestseller. One's on Dancing with the Stars. The other one popped up on the Sex and the City remake.
It's so ingrained into our culture at this point. How many movies and TV shows, for better or worse, I know lately it hasn't been very good, but how many of them have featured Pelotons? Like, it is now the new, I guess, like, you could say Bowflex or something. If they put a piece of exercise equipment.
It's going to be a Peloton.
It's a Peloton.
Yeah,
now,
I mean, Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
He's running on a tread.
And all
what's now called a tread plus, the one that killed
three
people.
Or four?
Four, sorry. Yeah, okay, no, wait, like, there's four of them, right?
Yeah.
Bad Boys, the most recent one.
Four. That's four.
Yeah.
Bad Boys.
There's three bad, no, Bad no, Boys 3.
Four. Oh, you know why? Because they call it Bad Boys for Life.
It's three.
And they should have just saved that for the fourth
they
one.
They should have.
You're right.
Yes,
I'm
that
sorry.
Was dumb.
I was like, thinking, yeah, I was like four, Bad Boys for
that's
Life.
Binge Movies, you must have watched that from Binge Movies Library. Well, Binge Movies has every movie ever made or not.
Oh, or not made. Yeah,
so
right.
You clearly went to Binge Movies
already.
From the fourth one.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm not going to double down on my Bad Boys knowledge. If you say there's four, I guess there is.
Talk, Friday the 13th and Halloween, then you can.
Yeah.
I don't.
But yeah, like, there's a scene in when they're showing his big fancy apartment in Miami and he's running on the Tread Plus, which when they were filming that was so new, you couldn't get one. They actually. Have I told this story?
No.
Did they go get it from a user or something?
They needed it from
a
user. The production company actually reached out to my wife to get hers, but they were shooting in Miami and they didn't want to pay to move it.
I mean,
so
they
found somebody closer.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Huh,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, I just want to get my picture taken with Will Smith.
Where's Will Smith's sweat on my tread?
Yeah.
The Tread didn't exist.
I gotta
at that
tell you,
point.
I did see the trailer.
Yeah,
for...
the Tread. That was it. Was the Tread Plus, but they called it the Tread, and then they later came out with a smaller Tread, and they call that the Tread, and the old Tread is now the Tread Plus.
Oh,
it's like, but if we were in Germany, yeah. I would make your.
It's a real HBO yeah. Max situation going
yeah,
on over
it's
there.
Kind of a mess. Yeah, it's yeah, but yeah, at the time that was the only Tread they had, and there weren't that many of them. They had. It had been on sale for like a year, but they had just started putting them out in the market.
Like mass producing them?
And they wanted him to have like a really cool, badass, state-of-the-art, because the character's rich, right?
Yeah, very much, so, yeah.
But anyway, also don't forget we have a Patreon, as the reviewer was kind enough to mention, but patreon.com/realspoilers. You get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and that's really nice of you. So.
There's some fun stuff on there. I mean, Joe has done the last couple of series based on horror films that we've covered, the new ones here, but like, I mean, Joe and I did commentaries on movies. There's all sorts of stuff on that Patreon that, you know, people don't even talk about because when we did them, we only had a few patrons.
Right, right.
But you can go back and find stuff that's just like
some
older.
Some random stuff.
Yeah,
up
some
there.
More. So check it out.
I think I did a breakdown of the Halloween trailer. Like maybe the 2018 trailer.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff on there, whether it be interviews or commentaries or reviews of random stuff. So and it all helps the show. Like, we really appreciate it. We've picked up a few extra patrons lately, and a lot of them are longtime listeners. They're like, yeah, I finally did it. And it means a ton to us because,
yeah,
I mean, we say it every time, but really it's with the costs of, you know, keeping the show afloat with it, whether it be equipment or subscriptions, editing, you know, it all adds up.
All
and so, you know, we keep doing this because of your help.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig into Death on the Nile.
Oh,
you know, game I play in my head is I always try to come up with porn parody titles for the.
What was this one?
This one's a hard one because there's not an obvious, you know, pun choice for Death or Nile. So in my head, I went with. Agatha Fist means Death on the Nile.
That could actually work.
I would have gone with on the Nile.
That's a little on the nose.
But I mean, that's just
but also,
a straightforward
that is
porn
parody
title.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, they're not
you know,
known for their cleverness. I mean, every once in a while you get a real gem. Like,
but it's right there. It's just
Beverly Hills Copulator.
That's good. That's
on
good.
Golden
Forrest
Blonde.
Hump is also on Golden Blonde.
Yeah.
Also,
not a title you would expect, but there's a lot of people that like the mature porn.
Hey, man.
You know, as you age, you want something that's maybe...
You
want
to see yourself on screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Representation,
yeah.
Representation is important.
Yes.
So.
Right. That's right.
But,
man...
The Right Stiff.
That's
a good
one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so much for all those new listeners.
It all comes full circle, Jerk.
Yes. It's a good band.
Death on the Nile. You know, I remember watching the first movie, and I thought, you know
the
what
first,
I...
Which... The original Death on the Nile?
Murder on... The last one in this franchise.
Sure.
And I was just like, you know what I would really like to know is where that mustache came from. Like, you legit gave us an origin story for a mustache?
And then you take the mustache away.
Is this where we're at?
I gotta tell, like...
Well, it's, you know, the man is more than a mustache, and we had to learn that.
I love a good detective story. Right. And I like the it doesn't, you know, I like the idea of like solving the crime and everything that goes along with it. I liked Murder on the Orient Express. Mm-hmm. I liked I don't know, like, but there needs to be
Knives Out.
That's the comparison, right? Like,
right.
Knives
like,
Out.
Like, I really liked Murder on the Orient Express, and it was, and then Knives Out came out.
Yeah.
And now I like Murder on the Orient Express a little less.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Knives Out took the classic whodunit formula and freshened it up to modern standards.
But there's
where we have the humor and the
there is some yes. That's the key is something like Columbo, where you. Peter Falk plays that character as just like the lovable oaf that he's so unsuspecting the entire time, sort of like Benoit Blanc. Like Benoit Blanc kind of has that same
like
quality.
He doesn't play it quite as I won't say goofy because in a lot of ways he's goofier, but like he doesn't play quite as dumb. He does have this like detachedness that makes you wonder like does he know what's going on?
Do you
like,
know what you're doing?
He doesn't lead on anyone. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't sit there like Poirot sits there and kind of is like I'm so smart.
That's the problem. Sherlock and the new Sherlock is kind of the same way where he doesn't play it like he's dumb, but he allows the viewer to just stay with him and he when he's already seven steps ahead, but you never feel like he's being a pretentious prick, you know? And he is.
Cumberbatch?
Right? He is.
I mean, because I'm like.
He very much is. But, but like, you are, like, he plays it in a way you're just like, you're not like, I don't like this. Where as much as great as Kenneth Branagh is, and he's very good in this role, there's a level of pretentiousness. And I think the.
But I think that's what people wanted back then.
Maybe.
Right? Like,
maybe.
It's like, it's like there was this, there's an elitism about him that at the time people aspired to because, you know, that you should be educated and you should know things.
Because they didn't have a whole internet of Poirot.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
Acting like
and,
that.
And, but also, like, at some point, it kind of flipped into what we want from a hero. And, you know, somebody like Columbo, there was a reaction to that, right? Like, we're going to go the other way where this guy's really smart, but
he's going to rope you in.
He's going to rope-a-dope you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and...
I just watched one with John Cassavetes.
Mm-hmm. He was on a bunch of them.
And, but I was
because
like,
they made movies together.
With Peter Falk?
Yeah. Woman Under the Influence?
Oh. Well... The best part
that
about
movie's
that
movie's a gut punch. It's
isn't
really
that,
good.
Isn't that how he made the money for
yeah,
his
like
stuff?
He would do Columbo, and then he'd give because it paid so well,
yeah.
And then he'd give like take a bunch of the Columbo money and go to Cassavetes and be like, "Let's make movies."
Okay.
And then he'd go to Cassavetes and be like, "Well, come direct an episode of this, or be on an episode of this, or do both, and like you'll get some money too." Mm-hmm. And like he was like. It was, you know, he was like, yeah, take this TV money. And he's like, you probably look down on TV, but one, for TV, Columbo is pretty damn good TV.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, it's like, well, okay, come over here, slum it on TV, and then go do your
little art movies. Yeah. But it's, with Benoit Blanc or Sherlock or Columbo, they're intriguing enough where you're just like, you know, they play the rope-a-dope or... They act like they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But then it turns out they're like, I've actually figured this out 3 hours ago. I felt like Kenneth Branagh played that the same way in the first one. And this just felt like a character. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. But it felt like this was a very different movie than Murder on the
maybe
Orient
based
Express.
On the end. I mean, maybe everything that he went through in Orient Express had an effect on him. You know, this is a direct sequel. He's
right.
Coming right off that case.
Don't they
and
say
congratulating
at the end, like
him.
There's been a death on the Nile. Like
they
that
do. That was like their
the
like
tail end of
that
Orient
was their
Express.
You know. I'm starting the Avengers Initiative moment. Yeah. Like because they're like, come with us. There's been a death on the Nile.
But it's just like, but there hasn't been because he's there when they die.
Well, yeah that's weird. I don't know.
Maybe they don't say death, but they say something about like you need.
He's going on another case.
Yeah, he's going to Egypt for some reason.
Yeah,
it's definitely a like setting up the death on the Nile.
Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the qualms I had with this. But it, I mean, it's a. The cast is good. It's kind of hard not to talk
the
about
the cannibal in the room.
I mean, the cannibal in the room. Every time he's on screen, you're just like, oh man, you are a creepo.
I mean, I guess the reason they didn't edit him out is he's in every scene.
I mean, he's kind of a major character.
And not only is he in every scene, but he's also like, if you think about it, he's touching her a lot. So it's like, it's not like they could re-edit it easily. Yeah. You know, like if you look at the movie, what was the hostage movie that they replaced?
All the Money in the World.
So many of his scenes are like he's standing by himself in a big empty room. So it was pretty easy
to recast
to reshoot that. Where with this one, because the whole point is he's in this, you know, hot and steamy love affair with Gal Gadot.
He's all over her.
So like how do you do that?
So did this
every time he touched her, he's licking his fingers. Yeah,
there were like that opening scene on the dance floor where
bent over.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening?
That scene was
no one
ridiculous.
In the 1920s was dancing like
and,
that.
And if you look at it, like half the people on the dance floor were dancing in a similar manner.
It was
like,
if one person did it, it'd be like, okay, they're a little bit whatever. But yeah, that was not the
it
style.
It was like hardcore sex swing dancing.
Right.
Like that's
I mean,
the
I saw this movie with my son, and I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it was.
Like, I thought they were going to start doing it on the dance floor.
Yeah.
This is the opening scene with the original fiance.
Right.
Yeah,
in the red. Yeah.
Right.
Jackie or whatever.
Jackie.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn, Jackie. Like, take it down a nod. Like, woo.
It was
something.
I'm going to have to get that dress scotch guarded. I will say, I solved the mystery. Like,
I had
almost instantly.
As soon as they mentioned the paint, that's all you need to know.
Actually, I was just like, oh, this. As soon as we got in, you know, first off, it's an hour before somebody gets killed in this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah,
they I know. Killed, they it, killed Ryan. Depp fell, Ryan fell asleep, and I'm like, I felt bad. I'm like, man, I thought they would really get to the murder sooner because it was like
they killed Johnny Depp within the first 30 minutes.
Like they set it up quick. Yeah. And like this one, it was just like, gee, I'm like, I was promised a murder. Well, we're an hour in, because I saw it with my wife, and I was just like, oh, I'm like, I think the two of them are doing
that's
it.
What I thought,
and like yep, they're like deal. This has been a setup from the get go. Like it was like she. Brought her in on purpose,
right?
So then he marries her, gets the money, and then they
kill her, and off they go.
And now all that money's his. But
did you figure it out?
Yeah.
When did you figure it out?
When she shows up on the boat, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
that's it. That's what we're doing. Like that. I mean,
but she was showing up everywhere. To be fair, like you know, before that, she kept showing up. So it was when you knew she was going to show up
like,
on the boat.
I've watched enough. Like not true crime, but like detective stories that when the detective says, hey, you need to go. And then the one person's like, no, let's stay and do this and go over here. And I was like, well, you're in on it. You know, like yeah.
That's true. Because in this movie, Armie Hammer he's the one that's like, oh, well, to get away from her, we'll just go on a boat instead of staying in town
or even going home.
And yeah,
like, that's the deal. They're like, just go home.
Right.
And live your life and be happy. And he even, like, I did, like, the scene with Perot and Jackie, where he was just like, move on.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, get out of here. And he gives a great performance. He gives, like, a very touching and heartfelt, he has a lot of tragedy and loss in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't see him act very often anymore. Like, he's kind of behind the camera for the most part. But I was like, oh, dang. Like,
he was just in Tenet. He thought he was a great villain in Tenet.
Oh, he was in Tenet, wasn't he? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And he was awesome. In that Jack Ryan movie. He was the villain.
Yeah, he was
the
bad
Ryan.
Guy in that. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we all forget about.
The one that we were like, they should make a TV show instead. And then,
and then
they
did
a TV show instead.
Starring John Krasinski.
Yeah, which is good. First season's real good. But I
liked him in this movie a lot. I
thought this movie overall was solid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I thought the last one was better. I think the mystery, even though I solved it, was better in this one. Like I felt like Murder on the Orient Express, like no one spoiled.
Well, Orion, it's you can't solve it.
You can't solve
you
it.
Can't
it,
solve
it. It's in and now I saw the original movie and I thought like, oh, that was solvable. I mean, like you probably wouldn't, but
right.
But it's doable. Where I felt like the way the last one was made, it was practically impossible for you to
there's
solve.
No way. Like when that happens, which I think is cool in a way because you get to the end, you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. Like, there's no way. But it also, you can't really play. It's harder to play along when there isn't really a possible way to do it.
Yeah. Well, and then when he does reveal what happened, like it comes at you so rapid fire that you're just like, what?
Yeah.
What happened? Like
this, I will say this one does not do that.
Right.
Well, like, what?
In this one, they have someone delivering exposition to Poirot, who's the world's greatest detective.
That's
so I thought for the audience, clearly,
yeah, there's a hell of an exposition dump in this movie.
But his friend Book is telling what everyone's doing, and I'm like, dude, Poirot's sitting right there. He's figuring this all out, but he's explaining to the audience who everyone is.
Yeah.
I just thought, I really don't like it when the movie spoon feeds
you. That guy wasn't in the first one, right?
Yeah, he's the.
Yeah,
guy that was on the train.
Okay,
he was
that
the,
makes more
his
sense.
Uncle
yeah.
owned the train or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah,
okay,
but yeah,
okay.
He was. He's like him and
Poirot
are the only two that come over.
Okay,
from the last
but I remember when he's like, I don't think my uncle's gonna like with all the deaths on the train. He's just worried about like I don't think I have a job on this train anymore.
And he did.
I think that's just a vestige of how they did murder mysteries back then. Because I recently read a Perry Mason novel. I don't know if you know this. I'm 100 years old.
Did you watch the new show?
I did not.
Ooh.
And so I heard it was good.
It's real good.
And that it follows the book more faithfully. And so they had a bunch of the books on sale. And I was just like, they were like $2 on Kindle. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy those. And then I read up on it. And apparently there was like almost 100 Perry Mason books.
Oh,
like
wow.
They
really?
Were churning those things out. Yeah. And so... it was an interesting mystery, but the storytelling of it was just very dated. I mean, it's from the 50s.
Sure.
And then you get to the court case that, you know, that it revolves around, right? Because he's an attorney. is really just an excuse for an exposition dump. Like, it's just the plot that's device.
Kinda great.
So they can put the person on the stand and they'll be forced to explain how they did everything.
Sure.
And like, you finally get to it and it's like 5-10 pages of like, well, in this scene, you know, I mean, they don't say scene, but, and so I just think that's kind of how they constructed them back then.
I will say, okay, that's a great example. That Perry Mason show is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. And he's kind of the same. He's kind of the same where he is, but he is kind of a dope in that show. Like, cause it's pre,
it's almost like year one,
it is,
right? It's like before he's Perry Mason.
It's a zero issue. How about that?
Like he's becoming Perry Mason.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. He's Perry Mason by the end of the season.
Right.
But he's also, man. Yeah. I highly recommend it. It's
so
really
the
good.
Plot of this movie.
The plot of this one is, I'm just going to call him Kenneth Brown. I'm not going to keep saying that stupid detective's name. Well,
especially because they say it so stupid.
They say it so stupid. He is
Poirot.
Shut up.
Just say Poirot. You don't have to put any accent on it.
Branagh. He is in Egypt and he's kind of on vacation. We should say we get a pretty good opening credit sequence with him like directing the military, and he's like, "No, look, the birds are flying in. Now is the time to walk across no man's land," which I feel like has never been a thing until Wonder Woman, and now it's a thing all the time.
I kind of like the mustache origin story. Like,
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with like the gnarly
scar.
I
think it's funny because it's ridiculous on paper to make a mustache origin story.
Yeah.
But it really informs his character because it's like, why does he have a big ridiculous mustache? And they flash back and they show
Sam Elliott.
But then they go back and then they show a guy that you're like, oh, that's him, I guess, de-aged a little bit. Doesn't look like him, but he's de-aged.
You are absolutely right.
Right?
I did think that was him as like a
de-aged. Supposed to.
Yeah,
you're
sure,
supposed
sure.
to. There's a guy with a big mustache. And you're like, oh, when he was younger, they used a different actor, whatever. And then you find out that that's like the captain of the military operation and he dies and Poirot feels responsible. And so
I believe he was actually a capitan.
Capitan.
There you go. And so he, as homage to this guy, like his.
Oh,
his,
wait, is that what you think it is?
What?
I thought it was to cover the scars.
Well, no,
well,
he did it
adopted
okay.
this guy's mustache.
He has the same mustache as Poirot.
Okay, but like,
would
when
go.
You see the scar on his face, first off, when you see him in
the
present day,
the
there's
mustache.
No,
not match.
There's no scar, yeah. and I don't think you could grow hair because that's
could,
scar tissue
oh,
now.
Oh, sure.
So,
you couldn't.
Yeah, I don't understand. The concept, I don't really get.
They don't tell you. It's a fake mustache.
Yeah.
Well, in the first movie, they it's bigger, I think. And so I thought it was really weird that especially when the origin is to cover a scar, they made it a little smaller.
Right.
It doesn't
that's
cover
true.
As many.
Yeah,
in the
right,
first
right, right.
movie, it was big. And I watched a couple of scenes and I'm like, yeah, that looks bigger in the first one. So I don't
it
know.
It does have like, it's also, this one is, look, I don't know anything about mustache styling whenever this movie takes place. Yeah. But like, there are some, like, he's got it like waxed in like two different spots
yeah.
where he's got
yeah.
like, broken
it's like,
apart.
It's like layered.
But it's cool. But
it's like his mustache is feathered.
It's two mustaches, basically.
It is, basically. Yeah,
but
you're
it's
right.
cool. But it's cool, though.
It's a cool
it's
mustache.
It is cool. It's a cool. It's a pretty.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's a cool mustache.
Yeah.
He's a cool character.
I couldn't pull it off, but that's
no.
Like if somebody walked up to me with that mustache, I'd be like, damn.
But and I mean, cool look,
I'd be like, you better be in a barbershop quartet.
Yeah, but he has.
Are
a,
you solving a crime right now?
Right.
But he has a sleeping thing that has the two things for the mustache. Like that was a funny gag in the first one when you see he's got the eye cover and the mustache cover
yeah.
with the two curls.
Yeah, right. Right.
But anyway, I like that though, and it shows you one why he has such an interesting mustache, and it actually adds a lot of depth. It's not like I just want to look like a slick
sure.
barbershop quartet guy. It's like, oh, he's doing it to cover up something, and the love of his life suggested that, and he was scarred. And I don't know, it added another depth to this character.
I would agree.
So it wasn't just like some D-bag that's good at solving mysteries,
right.
like some pompous guy.
Did PBS do a bunch of these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they've been making,
Well.
Yeah, they've been making versions of this for years.
Okay.
This one was with Murder, She Wrote. It was the rich lady.
Angela Lansbury?
She was the rich lady.
Was she really?
In the original one, yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So he is on vacation in Egypt and we happen to see he's looking at the, and this is the tone I thought we were going to get where he's looking at the pyramid and he's enjoying, you know, his eccentric, coffee and desserts. And we see a kite flying in front of him. He gets all pissed off. And
I thought that was funny.
I did. I know. I do too. Like that.
He just threw the cake away cause it couldn't be enjoyed. And then he goes and yells at the guy.
And finds that it's book or yeah. book. I'm just calling him book too.
Book.
And we find out that like book is there with, who I thought was his sugar mama. Like, that's the way I initially thought. Like, when he starts describing it,
yeah,
because he says he's a kept man. So I was like, oh, so this guy, like, he's shacked up with Annette Bening, who I hadn't seen in, I couldn't even tell you the last time I saw her in a movie. But that's what I thought. That's, and then I kept
maybe
calling
that's
her
just
mom.
Supposed to be a little humor.
Maybe.
That, like, then, his mom is trying to, like, is always around.
That's,
and he's,
I mean, that's, yeah, the impression that I got.
And
yeah. She's taking
him on
care
the straight
of him.
And narrow.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they end up inviting him to, well, we should say that the other beginning of this is we see Creepy McCreepertons dancing with Jackie on the dance floor. And
dancing, is that what you call it?
Swing. Never mind. Stop myself. So Perot is there, and he sees all of this happening, and he sees Gal Gadot walk in, and she is like this, you know, the seas part when she walks into this club, and Jackie introduces her to her new beau.
And he has no money, but he has skills. And she says, can you give him a job working on your new estate?
Yeah. And she was like,
and
okay.
She's like, if by estate you mean my vagina,
then yes, that's what I mean. So they, you know, Jackie says, go ahead and dance with them. And as soon as they start
but
dancing.
But the dance is like.
This one isn't. Well, especially I felt like this like one's other, not as bad as the first
well, okay,
one.
It's not as bad, but for someone you just met.
Right. That is true.
Picking her up and like, it's very sexual.
He's got her vagina in his face.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you know.
Like he's an amateur gynecologist.
Yeah. It's a
sir,
very.
You just put her down on a bed. And this is, yeah. What are you doing? But yeah, so then we flash forward. Is it 6 months or 6 weeks?
Plus, I'm like, where do they rehearse this? How do they know to just dance like this?
Well, here's my question, right? When did the allegations happen compared to where this movie came out?
Well, this was in production before that. Because
this was supposed to come out, like, I think, wasn't it supposed to come out, like, right at the beginning of COVID is when
it
was
scheduled.
Yeah, a
couple years.
It's been sitting on the shelf for a long time.
Okay. I'm just thinking of, like, you know, Gal Gadot is kind of an outspoken person, which I think is great. But I just have a feeling, like, if the allegations come out and she has to do this scene with this guy, she'd be like,
no,
thank you.
No one was employing this guy after those allegations.
Yeah, no, there was something else.
No, he dropped out of, like, three different projects.
Did he really?
Once that stuff came out, there has been nothing in production since then.
Like, it completely scuttled Lone Ranger 2.
I know. And Call Me By Your Name 2.
Episode,
yeah.
Episode
that was,
2.
That's supposed to be a real movie. That,
yep. Oh, really?
Yeah, Call Me By Your Name 2.
Although he is going to be in The Bone Ranger.
There it is. We knew, yeah. Bone Saw Tomahawk, which is like a very different
so
movie.
6 months later after that meeting
right.
is where the flash forward is
out
in Egypt.
That now that what's his name has left Jackie and has married Gal Gadot, and they have like this huge wedding, and they're
that was a pretty good transition to where they're at the wedding and you don't know and they pan out or whatever
and you
it's
assume
him
it's
and
Jackie
Gal, right that's
yeah.
what you'd think. I just thought that was pretty good where it was like they don't tell it to you, they don't say it, they show you
right
and you're not expecting it. Also, there's a couple jump scares in this movie.
They got me a couple times.
That my heart was racing when that snake jumped up because you're not expecting jump scares in a mystery like this. I mean, again, the murder,
death on the Nile,
I
Kevin.
Know, but it's not a horror movie. Like, you know, there's gonna be a death, but it's gonna be a guy like, oh, look, a guy died.
It's like somebody of old age.
Yeah. And but man, when that
I think he had high cholesterol.
Solve that mystery.
Yeah,
her cue.
When that snake jumps out of
good.
Nowhere,
it was a good one.
Like,
yeah,
I
like
actually, and horror movies don't even do that. But Death on the Nile freaking scared me more than any horror.
Gotcha. That's the best part, right? Because you didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
So, Book ends up inviting Kenneth Branagh onto the
Poirot.
Okay. just single that out, and you just put it over whatever time I say it.
The new chicken noise.
Can I just get one? Can I get one isolated Poirot from you?
Poirot.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. should I have like pause in between so it's easier to
I'll make
out?
It work.
So he invites him to like join this party because Annette Bening is involved somehow. I don't. She's her godmother, right?
No, that's the rich lady.
The gal from AbFab?
I guess.
It's both of them are from AbFab.
But
they are?
Yeah.
Okay, so I really?
Yeah, they are.
I feel bad.
That's,
I definitely recognize.
Hey, people change as they age. Bridget, we'll just leave it at that.
Bridget Fonda?
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway, so.
So he ends up hooking up with this group, and we see he ends up becoming kind of infatuated with this jazz singer and her niece, right? That's who she was?
Yeah, it's the niece. Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that played Shuri, right?
She's like her manager.
Yeah. So
Letitia Wright is the niece.
That's right. That's right. So they end up, you know, they're doing all this stuff and everything's going great. They're going on a tour of the two tombs of Cleopatra, I guess is what that was. because they keep referencing Cleopatra. I don't know. They go on this tour of
they're
tombs,
in Egypt. They're going to see and sphinxes. And
they're going to CGI sphinxes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is there's a lot of stuff in this where I was like, God dang, these are sets. Like, they have to be sets.
Right.
There's no way that they can't, which
but
I
like,
appreciate.
Like, when they're on that boat, it looks really, with this water and stuff in the background.
I was like, if it's CG, it's top level.
But they probably don't have all those actors out there sweating in Egypt. I'm like, was some of this filmed on location? It looks really good. Whatever.
I thought it looked, a lot of it looked really good.
In the boat on the water, when they pan out and you see, like, Gal walking and the camera's going with the boat. And there's stuff through windows and around her. I'm just like, how do you do that?
That stuff looked good. What I didn't think looked good was the actual footage of Egypt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was just so...
With like a pyramid in the background.
Computery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very much
so. It was like a really good video game.
A little rubbery.
Yeah.
I thought, when they showed like the pyramid. And
just had
like
that CGI sheen where there's no real... It doesn't look bad. There's just no sense of physicality to it.
Yep.
Interesting. You know?
And that's the thing. I think Kenneth Branagh is a really great director. I think that guy has...
Absolutely.
Know, when you got hired for Thor for a reason, right? Like, that's, you know...
They were moneyballing it.
That's
like
exactly
we talked about
it.
He was like, oh, this is like...
We get the Shakespeare guy?
Fake Shakespeare. Let's get a real Shakespeare
Kenneth
guy.
Branagh's like, you know, I was in Wild Wild West, right?
Yeah. hey, that's his Columbo work, right?
Like, he's like... Man, he is owning every second he's
on
screen.
And Hill's like, I'll take your money, and I'll go off and make my movies.
What a bad movie that is.
But Jackie shows up at the wedding.
Jackie's at the wedding.
And so that's the first time where you're just like, oh, I mean, she is not leaving them alone.
Right.
And Gal and Army talk to Poirot.
I can't remember his name to save my life.
You know, because Poirot's there and they know he's this famous detective. And they're like, you've got to do something. He's like, there's been no crime committed. I can't do
I
anything.
Do like that too, where he's like, what the hell do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Like, she's just being a creepo.
And so they're like, please just think about it. Do something.
Is this where he said go home? Does he tell them that this, because...
No, after he knows that Jackie has a gun, I can't stop anything. It's not illegal for her to have a gun. It's not illegal for her to just be here. But, you know, this is not going to end well. You need to go home.
Right.
But he talks to Jackie, and Jackie is basically...
I thought this scene was really good. I like this
a
lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good, like, one-on-one scenes, and especially with Branagh, and he finds out she has a gun, and she's like, well, maybe I can end all my troubles with just one bullet.
Right.
You don't know what that means for whom or whatever, but so then he tells them to leave, and then he's like, just think about it. He walks away from them, and then the next scene is or shortly after is, like, Army showing
we're
up, like,
going to
hey,
a boat.
We got a boat. She'll never find us on a boat because you know, she tracked us to Egypt, but no way she'll rent a boat.
I did think when they were all piling onto that tiny little boat is like the back end kept sinking. Yeah. And I was like, you know, there's going to come a point where you're just going to flip that thing over.
It was funny because when I saw that, I'm like, they're going for a joyride packed on a little boat. I didn't realize they were shuttling them to
another
boat. So when I saw it, I'm like, huh?
This is dumb.
What did you do? Why'd you hire that boat?
So they get to the boat. We should also say that, like, in this movie is... that Jon Snow's wife. Jon Snow's like real life wife. Kit Harington's real life wife is in this. Russell Brand, who is not on brand
right.
in this movie at
Man,
all, which I was like,
he's
okay.
unrecognizable without long hair. Like,
well, even like he's not doing the wacky gimmick.
Yeah, he's
either.
Not being goofy.
So,
yeah.
Which is very different. I don't think I've ever
but
seen
him. I like
him
with
being...
the short hair. I'm like,
did he have short hair?
In this?
I just kept
hell
thinking,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was like, pulled back. And,
because,
like,
I mean, have you ever seen Russell Brand without long hair? Once before this.
I think so.
Like, his thing is that long, black, curly
hair.
Crazy
hair.
And so this is the first time we've known Russell Brand for, what, 10 or 15 years? He's been around comedies now
for a while, at least a
decade. And so we've seen him like that. And, he's got short hair in this. And you're right. He's playing a doctor, and it's not a goofy role. I thought he was really good.
But
unrecognizable.
For what he was given to do, I thought he was really good.
If I didn't know he was in this, I don't think I would have said that's Russell Brand. Like,
really?
Yeah, I just...
So they're on the boat and like things are okay. We get the cousin, Gal Gadot's cousin, is trying to get her to sign some papers.
Yeah, they're setting up all the clues for you to try to figure out. And
right.
So it's really shady that they just got married. Now they're on the first day of their boat on this honeymoon. And this guy's like, oh, but we need to sign these documents.
And
like, first of all, what are you doing with those documents?
Right.
Right? Like, if she signs these, they're going to be on a boat for 2 weeks. So it's obviously fishy that he's having her.
You know who I want to be around on my honeymoon? Mm-hmm. Anybody. And they invite everybody. Like, everybody that's close to them on this boat.
It's a destination wedding.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So yeah, so then I'm trying to, like, everything is okay for the most
part. Well, so they go to their, they make their excursion.
Oh, they do, they go to the
they're like sphinxes. Pyramid. They're not as big, but they're, yeah, like two big statues of
the tombs, basically. Yeah. And I mean, Army Hammer is like up her cooch, and I don't know how, like, I don't know. I'm not wrong though. Like, he's lifting her.
They're,
like,
outside on the things, and he pulls her dress up, and before that, anything can really come of it. Well,
literally,
a big stone falls and almost kills them.
Right,
he, like, moves her.
Everybody back on the boat.
Yeah,
and everybody gets back on the boat, and then there's a moment where even Gal Gadot has a good, again, a really good one-on-one interaction with Kenneth Branagh, where he's like, I don't understand why you're so upset. She's like, it's the money. Like, I don't trust anybody. And he was like, what are you, like, again, laying seeds of, like, red herrings galore.
Yeah.
You know, we know that, like, the godmother has given away her fortune and she's a communist, right? Is that they call her a communist?
Socialist.
Socialist. Yeah. Yeah. The nephew or the cousin thinks that, you know, he's trying to, like, get her money as well.
Even Russell Brand plays a doctor, but is her ex-lover.
Ex-lover or ex-fiance or...
They were in a relationship.
Yeah. So you've got all of these, and then you've got Gal Gadot's, I can't think of the gal's name.
Her assistant,
is treated like garbage the entire time. Mm.
And that's Kit Harington's wife, assistant.
Yes.
I can't remember her name.
Ingrid? I don't know if I made that up. I don't know. She was on Game of Thrones, too. You know nothing, Jon Snow. That's her.
I can't even remember that character's name. I've put Game of Thrones so far out of my mind.
Get ready for the new one.
I know Jon Snow, but who? I don't even
know
what his.
Jon Snow.
I don't know what his wife's name. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. Move on.
Okay, perfect. So they've leveled it up to, the exception of Book and Annette Bening, who don't really have any, like, ill will towards any of them, right?
Oh, and Letitia Wright. The niece of the singer.
Oh, they went to school together.
Went to finishing school together.
That's right. So they're planting all the seeds for everybody, basically.
Right. Everyone has a motive of some sort, or,
right,
you know, could. And Poirot's trying to put that together. He's
correct.
Watching everybody like he does. And
so,
but when they get back on the boat after almost being killed, there's Jacqueline.
There's Jackie. And she has booked, she's like, what are the chances? And I was like, well, you're the killer. Like, this is ridiculous. Of course, you're on the boat. We know what's going to happen.
Is this boat famous? Like, what's it called? The Jewel of the Nile?
Well, that's a Humphrey Bogart movie, right?
No, that was the sequel to Romancing the Stone.
I wonder, it's just when they said the name of the boat, it sounded familiar. And then I thought, well, is this supposed to be some... one of the famous boats that would do tours? And I don't really know.
I mean, it's a dope boat.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's huge, and it has these, like, the room that Poirot's in is like a suite at the top of a hotel.
Open that door, I was like, dang!
I mean,
like,
he got legit. They gave him the master suite. Like, they're up, they're in the janitor closet. Poirot's the best.
That's right. Yeah, he's got the guy who wasn't supposed to be there gets this nicest.
It looked
room.
Great with there's all this furniture and stuff. Uh-huh. It wasn't. I mean, it was really nice.
I've never been
and
on a
wardrobe
like a cruise any ever. Yeah. I have no interest in that whatsoever.
I don't
but
think
like,
you get rooms like that.
No, I don't think so. Oh, maybe you do. I'm like. The tippy top.
Oh, I'm
levels.
Sure.
Oh, yeah,
I'm, let me.
Know.
Yes, there are ones that you do. I'm just saying, not everyone, especially an add-on at the last minute, probably
yeah, right,
gets the.
Right. Yeah, he gets the Harry Potter suite, which is just a mattress under the stairs. So then this is where we think things are going to calm down. Where Army Hammer says, "Okay, you're right. We're going to go."
Like, Rose Leslie is Jon Snow's wife in real life.
Oh, what was her? Well, okay, but what was her character's name?
Ygritte.
Ah, I was close. I was close. Ingrid.
Ingrid. Okay. Yeah.
So this is where Army Hammer says, "Okay, fine. Like, this has gone on too far. We're going to go home." They're in, like, the parlor.
Let's celebrate with this glass of champagne. And you don't drink alcohol, but please.
Yeah, here, drink this. Well, that's, you know. And
that's
actually, I appreciate that, like, he's on the, you know, Poirot kind of gets out of there, and he's like, whoa, I feel like garbage. And
he should have thrown up. It looked like he was going to. If he would have thrown up, he would have
been
all right,
you know. So inside, like, this, he and Jackie kind of, Poirot and Jackie have another conversation, and he's just, you know, he tells him about his ex-old lady, his gal.
Yes.
And why he is
Catherine,
so,
I think.
Maybe. But why he's so, like, cold, I guess, because he's just like, there's no point. Like, nobody else is. It's kind of interesting. Like, he's like, nobody else is going to live up to her, so what's the point?
What happened to her? Was it the war? She was a nurse in the war.
Like
she died on a train or something.
She was a murder on a train.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite catch what happened. I mean, she's almost dead.
It was almost like in Rocky Balboa when they have to explain why Adrian's gone.
Yeah,
when she was like the lady cancer. Like, okay. All right, Rock.
Yeah,
like, that's good. You know what? Fair enough.
Yeah.
So. We go back into the parlor, and there's a pretty heated exchange between Jackie and Gal Gadot and Armie Hammer. And I do like the line where she's just like, we've already made love today. Twice.
Two times.
And
he's
then
like
he goes
three.
Three. And I was like, oh, man, that's kind of a...
Then they set up earlier that Gal says, she's talking to Poirot, and she says, I have to take a sleeping pill because I can't sleep with everything that's going on.
Right.
And so then in this scene after their argument, she says, I'm going to bed. I'm going to take a pill. So don't worry about waking me when you get.
Right. When you come in. So then there's pretty much a heated exchange. Jackie pulls the gun. The gun goes off, and Armie Hammer immediately grabs his leg. This is the other scene, too, where I was just like, how did he have that handkerchief on his wound covered that quick? Like, just the way things happened too fast in that scene, which I think was intentional.
But this is where I knew, like, so as soon as they go to that excursion, the lady is, the mom is painting.
Annette Bening is painting,
and she paints Book with green instead of red.
Right.
And that's what we found out later, but we see it, and Poirot looks at it, and it's a green outfit or green jacket, and we had seen in the previous scene he wasn't wearing green.
Right.
It would have stood out a lot. And so that's your first clue.
Why is that?
And she says, I can't find my red. And so I went to Ryan and I go, red is blood, red paint, blood, and it's missing. Someone's gonna fake a
the entire time.
Wound.
It was like, you've got red on you. From
what's that?
Shaun of the
Dead. Oh, yeah.
All the time.
So when this happens and you see him like, oh, it's my leg. You never see a wound. You don't see bleeding happening.
You see him immediately.
You see a handkerchief covering a leg. But then Book and the doctor carry him out. And I thought, well, okay, now you've got a doctor. So a doctor would have to look at the wound,
right?
And so I'm like, oh, well, clearly. And so this is where they kind of threw me off at the very end, because I'm like, well, the doctor has to be in on it. That's the only option, because he would see a bone is not shattered.
I thought that she had actually shot him, but just because they made a big deal too about how, like,
it's a wound,
what a tiny
caliber
gun,
22,
basically a pea shooter, and that you'd have
which
to,
doesn't make sense for the ending then, but we'll get there.
He's got a different gun.
No, he's got the 22 at the end. She does. It's her.
Oh, you're right. Poirot's got the 45.
Poirot has the big one aimed at him.
Yeah,
they've got the 22
right.
But somehow
is able to.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense because they emphasize it so much with how small it is.
Right.
And they try to pull that off, and it's like, okay.
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, it can still kill you.
Yeah, but I don't think
it would stop.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
what
I'm saying.
Here's what will happen with a 22, given my background.
Yeah.
It enters your body, and it will just bounce around. Like, it doesn't have enough for a caliber, unless it's like, maybe if it's like point blank, but usually if you get shot with a 22, it won't go. But what it will kill you is the bullet shatters and then bounces around in your body. Ooh. And then will like hit other things inside your body.
Yeah.
So we had a case one time where a guy got shot and ran like 4 or 5 blocks and then died because the bullet bounced around inside and then killed him. Like, not immediately. It was bouncing around inside of him.
And by bounce around, really break apart and just splinter is
basically
probably more.
Yeah. Like,
it'll
ricochet off your bones. Like, yeah. That's what it'll do. Like, the shrapnel will ricochet off your bones. And so he goes, and then all of a sudden, the handmaid goes in and finds Gal Gadot dead. She's been shot in the head. And nobody can figure, you know, and they do a pretty good job of like keeping track of where everyone is.
Yeah.
So like
there's a lot of red herring set up because you're like, okay, Armie Hammer was just shot. They carted him off.
We know
the doctor was with him.
The doctor was in his room. So like, and they
found
I think his name was Tom.
Right. Yeah. Book walks off with him, and then they call the doctor, and the doctor comes in, but they're setting it up. They do a really good job of misleading you because you think he's with people, so if he was in on it, they would see that he was in on it.
Jackie was in the room. Jackie was in the, so it couldn't have been
Jackie. They took
Jackie
away to keep her isolated.
Right, right.
So it couldn't have been her.
Couldn't have been her. And this is, to me, when the movie gets rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, when he starts trying to figure things out and break, you know,
In a murder mystery,
it takes
once
an hour for the
that
murder
is
to
the
happen.
Problem. Yeah, yeah
but
I
right,
do agree with
you're
that.
Waiting for a murder, and right. so yeah, I do agree they could have gotten to it a little quicker.
But when you as soon as you get that one, you get like three more real
right.
quick.
Well, it never stops once you get this. It's just they should have gotten to it quicker.
Yeah,
I
agree. I agree. Perot starts interviewing everybody, and everybody has a pretty solid, you know. Some of them have a solid alibi. Some of them don't. Like when he's interviewing Tom as he's in the moor.
Well, that's the great thing is they all have reasons to want her dead. I mean, not that they did, but Poirot is putting together, and everyone could be the killer.
Could be.
Yeah, they all have potential motives, right. which is how these things always
right.
work.
And they're all offended that they.
How
he thinks it's
you?
Them.
How dare
and,
you question me? Yeah. So. Just to breeze through this, he ends up getting, while he's questioning, we find another body. The body of the handmaid, it ends up, which I thought was a great scene.
Man,
where
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen, I mean, I probably have, but not to that, that was good.
A rowboat paddle?
A rowboat, like, propeller.
Right.
Like, the whole, well, like, the whole thing, is that what it's called? It's not
the
really
wheel?
Paddle wheel.
Paddle, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've never seen that before where a body is going around that and then, like, kicks the glass and breaks it. That was a cool visual.
It was very cool.
It's a good looking movie. Like, there's,
it's a real good looking movie.
I would never watch it again, but there were things to like. I just didn't think it's a weird movie because it's like I think the first one was better, but
that's fair.
But I think this one has a better more fair mystery to solve the way it's like presented to you.
Sure.
But and I know that like even and I say that even though I felt like I solved it right away, but I also feel like that's because in the book there are a lot more characters. And so they did a lot of composite characters, and they started scaling things down to keep it tight. You know,
that's good. There's a lot of characters already.
There's already a lot of characters. Absolutely. No, I don't necessarily think they made a bad choice there, but I think because they pared down the characters, it made the mystery a little easier suss out instead of, you know, but there's a lot of characters that if you read the book, and I only know this because I read an article. I've never read the book, but
too busy reading Perry Mason.
Right? Yeah, Perry Mason. Oh, there's 100 of them. But that they took a lot of characters and kind of combined them, and then they did some updating, like the blues singer, or jazz singers, shocking. There weren't black people,
right?
In the Agatha Christie original, and if you wonder why, look up the original title. Of and then there were none because it went through two other titles.
Oh, did it really?
Yes, it would. Before it was and then there were none. It was 10 Little Indians. Yeah. Oh, well, that's the better option because before that, it was 10 Little N-Words.
Aye!
What?
Yeah. And so because that's the little childhood poem, and then they were like, you know, and then somewhere along the line they were like, well, maybe that's not appropriate.
Oh, my God. Let's, we'll use it to this less offensive
yeah,
word.
Yeah, let's just... Is there something that's equally racist, but maybe slightly less offensive? And then... So now if you buy it, it's called And Then There Were None.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, actually, pretty good title. Right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good title. So now we've got two dead bodies. And so now he's got to figure out how this is connected to this one. We do find out that Annette Bening actually set this whole thing up with him being in Egypt. Book and Letitia Wright's character are in a relationship.
Another update.
Very much so. Yeah. Very, very much so.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, that the fact that the mother doesn't want them to be married, but they never address really why.
Oh, I think they kind of address. Oh, I guess they really.
She never.
Don't.
She, I mean,
she's
clearly at this
character.
Yeah, at this time period.
Yeah.
It would be a race thing,
right?
Yeah. And they don't say it or make a deal out of it, which I just think felt a little disingenuous because that rich white lady was not mad because she
that
was
old rich white.
I mean, she was smart. She was everything together. I mean, Poirot toward the end says like how good of a catch she is and how great she is and everything. So there's nothing for that lady to not want her son to be with except for race.
Yeah.
In the time period, so I just thought it was odd that they didn't actually point that out.
Well, that's the reason he's there to begin with. That's the reason Book ran into him, is because Annette Bening set it up to where he would be there. And
he's already working a case.
He's been keeping tabs on both of them, the jazz singer and her niece. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, he tells Annette Bening, he's like, I have nothing but great things to say about them. They're both good people. Like, besides,
which is that, after.
No. This is the scene where they're both on the steps coming down, and Poirot was like right in the middle. Where Poirot kind of says, he's like, I have a confession to make, and Buka's right there with they're both like, it's actually a very interesting scene where you've got both parties on descend two different staircases, and Poirot's right in the middle of them.
Yeah, that's and right. I was thinking later when he's explaining things, I think he talks about the book that he stole, but maybe
he said, well, she said, like, at one point she's like, hey, you took my book, and they do actually look similar, and he was like, oh,
and
sorry,
he didn't take her book, just to
that's correct,
it's confusing,
somebody else did. So now we've got two dead bodies, and then we've get and then I guess
so there's an interrogation. The last person he interrogates is Book,
right?
And Book is like, really, you're gonna do this to me? He's like, all right, I'll play along. And then Poirot is actually like, well,
where's your jacket? So we know that
the gal was wearing like $1 million Tiffany's necklace or something.
It ends up being an Annette Bening.
Most assuredly not a product placement.
Not at all. When it just says Tiffany Company as she opens
it went for like 10 minutes.
It went missing, and then everyone was turning over all the rooms, and they ended up finding it in Annette Bening's drawer.
Right.
And so, so the necklace was missing. There was a motive there. And then also
Book's jacket was gone.
The Book's jacket. And then there was also a scarf, a rich lady's scarf.
It was the gal from Absolutely Fabulous. So that's that. I will say, I thought that scene was great when he starts interviewing the nurse.
The two of them. Yeah.
And he calls him out, and he's like, but he's not a talk about it.
Yeah.
He was just like, look, the only thing that would keep this from being is love. And he's just like,
the way he explains it, with the way that
so good
the beds,
so good.
The bed sheets are made a certain way, and they're only folded like this, but you make your bed like this, and this bed was untouched because it's still made the way the boat does, but your bed looks different.
I do like the way they embrace, because isn't that kind of always been the? Is she the other character from Absolutely Fabulous?
Yeah, those are the two.
These are the two gals,
two main women,
and that's always kind of been the thing. Is that they were a couple and they just didn't, right?
I don't know. I never watched it.
I'm pretty sure that's kind of been like the underlying thing with that show. And then this one's just like, no, they are.
Yeah.
that's absolutely.
That was
good.
You're right. All the Poirot interrogation scenes.
And it also makes sense that like the he's French. Like, he's not going to
care.
He's not going to get worried about that. Yeah. Even the race stuff with the black singer, like, that's, I mean, so many black artists moved to France because they weren't treated like they were in America in France.
Like, England has a huge black population, too. Like, in Europe, it's just.
Yeah, like Josephine Baker, like, that's why she left and went to
France.
Yeah, so it also makes sense.
Yeah,
it's not just a modern device.
Yeah,
you know.
No, right, and so.
But in the last interrogation, though,
we find out that Book saw. We know that the handsmaid saw who killed Gal Gadot, and she was in the process of her getting money to keep her mouth shut. She ends up getting her throat slit with a very sharp utensil.
They find her with money,
and they're dragging the Nile for the gun, because the gun is now missing. And there's like an outline of where the blood splatter was, and Poirot puts it together, like the height and the width, and like this was you saw what happened.
Where's your coat? You had to dispose it because it had blood on it. So basically the handmaid, whatever you want to call her, found the body, but Book actually found it first.
He took the necklace
because he thought, well, I want to be with Letitia Wright, but my mom won't ever approve of it, and she's got all the money. So, I mean, this lady's dead, so I'm going to steal this jewel and fund our own thing. It's not the right thing to do, but also, like, he didn't kill her. She's dead, so, you know what I mean?
And I did think when he was like, you're going to send me to jail, and he was like, yeah, I was like, you... Like, why?
But that's Poirot. If he breaks that, I mean, look at the last movie,
sure,
right?
Sure,
not
sure.
To spoil what happens, but he's basically like... I have to do what's right by the law, and the only way that I won't is if you kill me, and I'm not going to stop you from killing me, but like I'm if we get off this train, if I make it off,
he's Rorschach.
I'm turning you in. Yeah.
So
Rorschach.
So he goes, "Really? Are you going to really not tell me to try to save jail time or whatever?" And then before he can say who the killer was that he saw,
she gets shot in the neck.
Shot in the throat.
And now like Pueblo.
Chase ensues.
It was good. It was a good little chase. It would remind me a little bit. I'm so stupid, but it does remind me a little bit of Scream, where like you're chasing the character in this, like he's wearing the character's wearing the same thing. But as soon as I saw again
the Scream outfit,
yeah, right. But no, yeah. But like as soon as this character starts running, I'm like, well, it's a woman.
Really,
like,
you can tell that
just the way she was moved, like the size of her, with the size of them. Spoilers, and the way she was running.
Do you mean two people or do you mean her boobs?
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, she was stacked.
I mean, we're talking about Joe. It's a fair question.
No, it is a fair question, and she was stacked.
But you know what they? You know what they do a really good job in this movie is every time there's a death and something happens, the camera disorients you in a way that you can follow the action. It's not that you don't know what's going on or it's unrecognizable, but they disorient you by turning the camera, following characters, and then at the end, characters start popping up out of different rooms and stuff.
Yes, I thought that was really cool.
So you cannot go, wait a minute, he was standing there, that person was there. They move the camera enough to where when they come into frame, you're like, well, they could have just thrown an outfit off and whatever, or they could have just been walking there. So I don't know. It was a really good job.
The only one you could say that it wasn't was Armie Hammer.
Right.
Right, because he's in the room with them, right? But that's a great point.
But the cousin starts popping out, the old lady's walking around, the mom eventually comes walking around. What happened? Was there a death? It's like...
And Pueblo. Yeah, exactly. He walks around the corner, and there's nobody there, but then, like you said, people start like popping out of rooms. You're like, ah, dang it.
It's really good, because you're trying to figure it out, and then they don't...
I liked that a lot. That was cool. And now Pueblo has had enough. His one and only friend has now been murdered. And he's figured it out. Like he's got it all figured out.
I like the way that they all go into the bar, dining room, whatever.
Right.
And all the workers lock them in there. It was a really cool, again, camera shot. We see like click, like all the doors lock.
Right,
and then.
And this is
and Perot. Okay, the gun that shot Book is laying on the ground.
Right,
it's the
45 that the cousin has.
So he's holding this thing and he's walking in there. He's like, the killer is here.
Yeah, the killer's
he
in this
pissed.
Room. Yeah. And this is where he basically lays it out. We know that the cousin is stealing money, but he's innocent. But he's like, "Are you going to report me?"
But the cousin tried to have them
killed.
Did.
He initially he calls him out first, and he was like, "At the pyramid, you're the one that pushed the rock." I was like, "That's not me. I normally don't do those kinds of things." I was like, "Oh, murder?
Yeah,
you don't. That's normally not
he
in
just,
your character."
It was a lapse in judgment.
Just caught me on a bad day.
Yeah, right.
But he didn't kill anyone there.
He didn't kill it. Yeah. Luckily.
Yeah.
So
be a lot shorter movie.
It would be a lot shorter movie. And he basically clears everyone, and then he gets to Jackie.
He shows us the green jacket and the painting. Right. Why were they using green? Because the red paint was missing.
Right.
And then they said that Armie Hammer faked the getting shot. But what we didn't know, and which threw me off with thinking the doctor was in on it, because that would be the only explanation. If the doctor says he has a shattered bone,
and he was
faking it, the doctor's in on it, right?
Right.
But then they show me this. I'm like, damn it, I knew it, but I didn't know how.
Right.
But so Armie
Hammer. Which is fun. It's even more fun, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, no, it's cool when they can trick you. Yeah.
Figure it out.
So Armie Hammer, when Book went to go get the doctor, he actually slipped away, grabbed the gun, shot his new wife,
right.
and then shot himself, muffled it with the lady's handkerchief. That's why that was missing.
Tied it all up, threw it
in the river. And then was like, I've been shot. So,
but inside the knapsack was the handkerchief that was used as like the decoy. And Perot says, look, blood into the warm water of the Nile will turn anything like a lightish brown. But this paint, this acrylic paint that you use, will turn it pink.
Light pink.
And he opens the thing, and it's a light pink splotch.
Well, because after he spells this all out, and then he says to Jacqueline too, like, you're in on it. You did the whole thing where you introduced them, you did the setup and all that, and they're like, you can't prove this is ridiculous. You can't prove this. And then where he's like, I've got the handkerchief, and shows him. And then at that point, she's like, nobody move, and starts pointing the gun. Right. And so now Perot has the 45 on them.
Yeah.
And then Singer has had a gun in her.
Oh yeah, which I thought was fun. Like hat, she had like a little 22 in her hat as well.
So you've got this standoff,
sort of like a Mexican standoff. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the good, the bad, and the ugly is what I'm thinking
about.
Yeah. So Armie Hammer and I don't know Jackie, the real woman's name.
Oh, yeah.
But they embrace, and Jackie just takes the .22 to Army Hammer's back and says, "We're good." Plow. And like shoots them both. And yeah. they both, and I thought the way they both died, I was like, well, that's kind of artful. Where like he kind of slumps down in the chair and she slides right. like, you know, hanging onto his legs.
It was definitely, the imagery was on purpose. It yes. was this movie talks about the things that you do for love. That's this through line from the very beginning of the film when you see Kenneth Branagh and his relationship with, mm-hmm. you know, Catherine, that whatever happens, and then all these people doing different things for love.
Everybody,
so,
yeah, you're right. Everybody in the movie, everybody's motivation is for love, where the exception of
the cousin,
Russell,
I
Russell
guess.
I guess. But like,
but Russell Brand, I mean, he still loves Gal.
Right.
So like that's
and then
what there's
the housemaid had a husband or had a fiance that Gal Gadot made him leave or like
paid him
not,
off,
not
to...
paid him off, but like said, you choose, I'll pay off your debts or you choose her. Yeah. And of course he chose the money. Book and his gal, like yeah. that's love there. And you've
the
got
cousin
the
loves
love
money.
Between a mom and a son. Yeah. I guess she's his mom. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's his mom.
And then Army Hammer yeah. and Jackie, like that's
so,
all.
So they
all,
died
right.
for love. They didn't want to be separated in jail. You know what I mean? So she killed them both so they could die together in their last moment. There's something poetic about that, even though they're evil, awful people and murderers. And you know what I mean? They're not good people, but the symbolism and the poetry
yeah.
was there
yeah.
in the way they died and laid to rest on
right,
each other.
Right, right. So then they dock and everybody kind of has a moment with Paul Will. And I did actually, I like the thing with Annette Bening was not nice to him like almost yeah. the entire time. And I do like the scene where she kind of like caresses the side of his face. And like Annette Bening is one of those actresses that I was like, man, I felt like she was like tippy top. Like she was top tier A class actresses. And then she just kind of stopped. I guess I don't know. And so when she shows
she's
up
good.
And she
yeah.
and she gives a performance like this, you're like, oh yeah,
she has a gravitas about her.
She does.
That's every line she delivers in this movie is said with a gravitas.
Yes, where she like touches Kenneth Branagh's face and like she goes weak in the knees because like this is her son. We assume this is her son has died, mm-hmm. and she just can't get it together.
Yeah. And I liked between Poirot and the singer, the whole movie, there's this tension between them. There's some
yeah,
kind of
flirting.
There's a romantic attraction here, but Poirot doesn't let anything take him away from the case, and especially
right.
with the memory of Catherine, so he doesn't pursue anything. But there's been this thing between them, and at the end, he starts to say something. He's almost going to say, you know, should we go on a date or something? No, but he just stops.
Oh, he does stop.
He
you're
stops.
Right. Yeah, he
so
stops.
And it's sad, and she walks away. But you're like, man. But then another 6 months pass, and then that's where we're at the
Sans mustache. We're at the same bar that we were in the very
yeah.
beginning. And I do like where the guy doesn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Because he was like, oh, miss, you know, in the very beginning, he was like, come on in and have
sure.
a seat and take these and blah, blah. And now he's like, hey, pal, we're closed.
Yeah. And the camera pans around really slowly. Again, another really good shot. And to slowly reveal
his
mustache
is gone
with the scars.
And then it ends with the singer like doing like a sound check. That's yeah. what I think they said is like they're doing a sound check and she's singing in the background. And that's how it ends. Yeah. This is like, the mystery's good, but it just took a while to get there.
Yeah. They needed to get to the murder faster.
Yeah. yeah
it's not
yeah.
perfect, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really
I think
it was
the first
worth
one
a watch.
Was a 4 out of 5 star movie. I think this one's a 3 out of 5 star
That's
movie.
Fair.
Like
that's
I don't
fair.
It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't as good as the first one and
yeah.
and again, Knives Out kind of ruined it.
It's
in
tough.
A way.
I did.
Because
yeah.
like because you know, like the first when well, part of what made Murder on the Orient Express so fun is, I mean, it's been a generation since we've really gotten a movie like that,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
so it's like, oh, this is just a fun throwback, like lavish costumes, fancy settings, mm-hmm. and of course it's ridiculous. We're all trapped in a room and you know, like...
One of us is the killer.
Right, you yeah. know, but it's like, okay, but that's what we're doing. Okay.
It's Clue.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
I love Clue so
Clue's
freaking
amazing.
Much.
Which is a parody of things like
right.
this.
Very
so,
much so, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah, Knives Out did it in such a...
Well, the thing is, Knives Out is modern. It's
yeah.
hard because this movie is set... I don't know if it's in...
It's post-World
the
War
40s.
II.
Right, because I guess he got injured in World War I.
He got injured
in post-World
War
I.
I think it's like 1940-ish.
So it's around, yeah, it's in the 40s. But look at how long ago this takes place. That's 80 years ago. And then Knives Out is modern. So
right.
you can talk differently. You
totally.
Have different sensibilities.
Right,
you can
right,
be
right,
funny
right.
in a way where if they spoke the way that we enjoyed in Knives Out for their witty banter, it wouldn't feel like it's the 40s.
Right.
So, you know, it has a lot going. Not, I mean, it's not... a bad thing. It's different,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
we like it for that. This movie is a little more restrained.
And Knives Out is kind of winking at you about its ridiculousness. Like, yeah, it's very self-aware.
They have the contrast between Daniel Craig and his partner. Who played his partner in that?
Oh, Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah. We're like, Lakeith Stanfield is like the straight man.
Yeah.
To like kind of the ridiculous. Because
he wasn't really his partner. He,
weren't they?
No, Benoit Blanc shows up because Lakeith was a police officer.
Police officer there to investigate it. And then LeBlanc is just there anyway. And he's just like, what,
hey,
what are you here for? Because I spent the first half of Knives Out thinking that he did it.
Thinking
that LeBlanc did it.
Oh,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
That's
little
funny.
Did you know.
Yeah.
He's our Columbo.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait for Knives Out 2. That's a Netflix.
I just hope
that's crazy.
I just hope they can recapture it.
Hope so.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty tall order. Yeah. So, but anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So I guess next week on the docket is Uncharted.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Wadsworth's wife committed suicide.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.